Do you want to go bigger, badder, better, more? Are you ready to level up your life? Are you ready to be awesome? Now is the time, and this is Success Freaks.
Welcome to Success Freaks number 199, Otherworld Adventures,
where we introduce you to our very, very special guest, Carrie Ann Hunt.
Super special.
From there, we remind you to thine own self be true, yo.
That's Hamlet.
And is rejection easier once you are successful?
And today, we're going to be taking you on an Otherworld adventure when I chat with you about my latest project.
Woohoo!
And in the level up section, we talk about being available for what you want.
And not being afraid to ask for it and being open to receive it.
All of this coming up right now.
Woohoo!
Welcome, welcome everyone to the number one I'm Ready for My Close-Up, Mr. DeVille comedic motivational show, otherwise known as Success Freaks. Today's working title is episode 199, Otherworld Adventures, with our guest star, Carrie Ann Hunt. And today we are coming at you semi-live from the Bears Den in Conyers, Georgia. In that Bears Den, ever working on his technicalities, is the dark side of positive, Charles McFall.
I see, being in the studio, I can stare at you and it makes you laugh and not scream out about dead air.
No,
so
yeah. You
see, I did that.
The dead air is filled with your personality, so that's why I'm just waiting patiently.
You know, we've actually pieces, the mouse in my pocket and I have pieces together quite well today, seeing as the studio is in complete chaos after being at Vegas for a week and then being in California for 4 days and then working in between every other day.
How was California?
It was nice. It was beautiful weather. I really didn't get far from the convention center, so I don't really count it as a trip to California yet. I didn't get to do anything other than recordings, but the conference was really good. You know, it was IEEE Women in Engineering International Leadership Conference. That's the entire official title. And I forget what IEEE stands for, some engineering. They have millions of people that are members. Hugh Morrison used to actually be a member of that group.
Really? Yeah. Maybe they're just so excited about it.
So it's Women in Engineering. But here's what I noticed throughout this conference. Success Freaks has really paved the way in business. That we always talk about, you have to know yourself. Everything starts with you. Even though our show is for entrepreneurs and people who are trying to chase their dreams financially and professionally, we often talk about the personal aspect of everything. And that was really a big theme throughout this conference. And one of the phrases that was said could sum up the entire 2-day conference, which was, how can you lead anybody else if you can't lead yourself?
Ooh.
So I thought that was an interesting observation.
That sounds like a meaning of life. What is the meaning of life?
The answer was, you know yourself, know who you are, know your strengths, know your weaknesses, be confident. You know, all the stuff we talk about that nobody else can do anything for you or against you is your responsibility.
From the great philosopher, I think Socrates, didn't he say, know thyself? I don't know.
Ask Bill and Ted when they come back.
When I saw that, it was on a comic book, and that's why I know about that. Anywho, today, Otherworld Adventures, we are with Carrie Ann Hunt. Hi, Carrie Ann.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great.
That's fantastic. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? Basically explain why the heck you're here.
Okay. That's not intimidating. Thanks. I am an actress, a writer, and a producer. I've recently sort of gotten into the field of producing. I'm creating my own content. I have a production company with my very good friend, Lindsay Archer. We're two women who are kicking butt doing that, which is exciting.
Butt kicking women.
You don't see a lot of that in the entertainment field. And we're really I got tired of sort of sitting around as an actor going, oh, gee, when's the phone going to ring? When's my agent going to call? And so I decided to just get out there and make my own party. So, yeah.
Fantastic. And you're working on a project right now called?
Otherworld.
Oh, hence the name of this episode. Fantastic. Tell us a little bit about that.
Otherworld is a medieval fantasy adventure. Otherworld is the Celtic name for fairyland. So it's sort of an in-depth look at the politics of fairyland and how it relates to the human realm. But it's also got a lot of hero's journey tied into it. I play our main character, Princess Isleen. And it's sort of almost a coming of age, but it's also a journey. We feel that it's really important that we give people their woods walk back, as I like to call it, which essentially, you know, a lot of fairy tales and mythology, we feel like they hold our emotional intelligence in a time when we're so connected to devices and not to each other. So we just really want to make sure that that stays alive and well, and that when people watch the content that we put out, that they are taken on some kind of journey that will change them or heal them in some way, that they come away from it different than they came to it.
So has it all been pretty much easy sailing for you? You know, everything just, just working perfectly. You know, you're a great actress. You've gotten your, you know, you people can IMDb your name.
Which I did.
Which you did. And now this brainchild of yours, of course, just it's like success dropping in your lap. Bing, bing, bing. Is that what's happening for you?
Can I just affirm that that's happening to me?
You can affirm and then give us your hero's journey.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, I've been an actress since I was a little girl, and I started out on stage, and then I sort of wandered into television and film and found my home there. And I think that's where I was always aimed at, and I was doing theater because it was what was available. And I love telling a good story, no matter whether it's on stage or on screen. You know, the goal for me is the same, is that I like the transformative power of art, and I like that it can really make a difference in people's lives in a way that you really can't reach them with politics or anything else, because it's sort of like they can go sit and watch something and go, oh, I'm not alone, but they don't have to feel like their privacy is being invaded, you know, in the process.
Right.
But as far as my journey, it's been nutty. You know, it's definitely been, there have been days of like laying on the kitchen floor going, oh God, why didn't I just become a pharmacist?
So, you know. So before we get too much further, which came first, the Renaissance Fair or the acting?
The acting. I was actually hired. I did a season at the Carolina Renaissance Festival, which is how I actually met Mordant. Mm-hmm. And very good. And that's where we met and became friends there and have stayed friends ever since then. And yeah, I got hired there because I was trained for Shakespeare, and it seemed like something fun to do because I love romping around in period clothes.
Romping, that's a Shakespeare term, romping.
Frolicking.
So, well, one of the things that at first I'm like, oh, you're my friend Carrie Ann, blah, 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 you know, and then you're like, yeah, I'm in a movie. And, oh, and I'm doing another one. Oh, I'm in Sleepy Hollow. Oh, I'm in the, I'm like, oh, you're my very, very talented friend, Carrie Ann. The first thing I saw you in was Wesley, a movie about John Wesley.
Mm-hmm.
And you played his wife.
Not a Star Trek spinoff?
No. Crusher.
That'd be kind of cool.
Proselytizing throughout the universe and the Federation planets.
He got stuck in the holodeck.
Oh, my God.
He got stuck in the holodeck, so he had to be John Wesley. You know, that'd be funny.
Oh my God.
Was that your first
Her brain thing? Just exploded.
It did. It totally did. Trying to imagine this in space, you know. No, that's Star Wars. I was about to go.
John Wesley in space.
Oh, my gosh.
The United Methodists are now turning over in their graves.
Oh, they're just happy we're talking about them.
Oh, I was United Methodist. Now stop.
I mean that in a positive way.
Was being the key word. And just being drugged there does not make you a United Methodist.
My mom and daddy made me sure. It made me sure.
Thank you.
See, there you go.
Public school.
Yay.
Was that your first film?
It was not my first film, but it was my first, I would say my first big role. It was an independent film, but it's on iTunes and Amazon, and it got distribution, and it had a really nice budget, and we had some recognizable people in there. And it was interesting because I walked in to read for a very small role, and I came out with the female lead, which was not even listed as a role because they were looking for a named actor. And then they ended up trusting me with it, which was really incredible. And it's still one of my favorite films that I've been a part of. And I'm still in touch with everybody, and we're all still friends.
So again, this sounds very, very easy peasy. You walked in, you wanted to go do a lesser role, and suddenly you're the lead. You also teach.
Yes.
All of this stuff. So if you are telling your students, oh, by the way, just go in, be good, and you'll be, you know, you're going to get the lead. Is that really what's going to happen for them?
Well, you know, I got that because I was prepared.
I don't understand. What is this preparation?
Tell us more. Well, you know, I mean, I have a lot of training myself too, and it was a lot of hard work and getting to the point of doing a lot of free theater and student films and anything that I could get my hands on, because it's way better to try something out, and if you're going to fall on your face, do it in a student film than a big studio movie, right?
Screw those students. That's well, how they need to
well,
learn.
Well, you know what I mean.
With that though, with that being said, that we will have to take a break here for just a second and get in more into the teaching and the learning and the everything else that you've been doing. So they can find us at successfreaks.com.
That's right. That's they can thing. Find us if you need to. You can find us on iTunes. You can go to we're on all the social media, kids. That's right. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on blah, 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 blah,
and
blah.
And, of course, AM 1450 WGNC in Gastonia, North Carolina.
Whoop, whoop.
There, we'll be back in just a moment.
Goodbye. See you.
Hi, this is Mike with MikeAtTheMic.com. And you know how it works. When you need voiceover, you need it now, and you need it inexpensive. And you need to get it as professional as possible. So if you're looking for a guy who's a podcast producer who comes equipped with voiceover skills and is affordable, professional, and quick, I'm your guy. Check me out. MikeAtTheMic.com. That's M-I-K-E at the M-I-C.com.
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 199, Otherworld Adventures. And we are just laughing here in between takes or in between sets. Well, before that, before the laughter, we were having a serious conversation.
Super serious
conversation about you being a teacher and mm-hmm. the ups and downs of, you know, the acting biz. And
well, I think we were talking about, you know, I was very fortunate with Wesley, which was a bigger independent, that I, you know, came in for this small part and got the lead. And some people, oh, you're so lucky. But I mean, in some ways, you're as an actor, you're always prepared. You know, you're always training and things like that. So that I knew when I looked at that script, and I also knew myself very well and knew what type I was. And so when I read the script, I went, oh, I'm not her, I'm her. I'll memorize both just in case they ask me.
Wow. Preparation.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that for a role?
No, and I've hurt myself because of that. I actually went in and they gave me a...
I think it would hurt myself to memorize two roles.
It was a cold read. It was a cold read, and I was studying one part, and then I went in there, and my acting coach would smack me in the back of the head because I went in there like, hey, well, we want you to read for this too. And I was like, well, I don't really know it very well.
Ooh.
Which was just, okay.
You say, yes, can I have a few minutes?
Yes, can I have a few minutes, which would have been the best thing.
But that's something, too, that I tell people, that I tell my students, ask for what you need.
Right.
You know, if you need a few minutes, ask for a few minutes. You know, like, I think they would much rather you take 10 minutes, they can see somebody else while you're doing that, and come in and be more confident with it than either say no altogether
right.
or not do it at all. I mean, I sort of have a history of going in for little things and getting bigger things, but for Drop Dead Diva, I'm in season 3 of Drop Dead Diva, I went in to read for a small role, and I ended up with a bigger one, but it was because I asked to read for the bigger role because I knew that, I didn't know it was a bigger role at the time, but I knew that it was more my type.
Right.
And I just took a chance and said, hey, can I do this? And the producer and the director were there and happened to let me do it, you know, and then it worked out for the best. But some of that is, you know, you're talking about knowing yourself. Now, it's really important.
I want to point out as an instant takeaway there, she just asked for what she wanted and got it. You know, because what is the worst thing they could say? No, read for this role. And you're already prepared to read.
Right.
Or the worst they could say is yes, and then they don't call you back for anything. I mean, there's outcomes that don't end the world.
Sure.
Right. So talk about that for just a moment, about where did you learn to ask for what you want in our society? And actually, most of the world, we're not taught that.
I don't really know, to tell you the truth. I think I was just born this way. but I think it comes from just my passion for what I do and my desire to be successful with my art. And sometimes it's just a gut feeling. I go a lot on my instincts. And with that particular one for Drop Dead Diva, I actually had not seen the script for the other role, but I was sitting there in the lobby and a girl went in and I could hear her on the other side of the door. Of course, I'm sitting there going, oh my God, I could do that. Why am I not doing that? Why am I reading for this? I totally do that in my sleep. You know, and so, you know, and I'm completely...
Is that the character, that right there?
Kind of. And, you know, and I was like, and the role that I got called in for was just not my type at all, you know. Right. And so, but the interesting thing was, is that it was such, I was so compelled by my instincts to do this that it was almost like I couldn't have stopped myself if I wanted to. You know, it just sort of came out of my mouth. I went in and did what I was supposed to, like a professional. And then as I was being walked out by the casting director, who I've known for a long time, I just said, hey, I think I can really knock that out. Can I try? And I was like, I'm making a face, but you guys can't see it.
Mouth wide open, expectations, you know? Smiling teeth.
And he said, have you read the script? And I just started laughing and I said, no. But, you know, know, that's the thing, is you don't take yourself too seriously. You don't go, oh my gosh, no, I haven't. You're right. I shouldn't do this. I should just go away now. You know, I just laughed. I said, no. And the director and the producer in the other room both went, yes, which was really funny. And so then the casting director laughed and he said, all right, let's get you a script and we'll give you a couple of minutes. And I came in and...
couple of minutes. It's all it takes, yeah. Folks. Just ask for a couple of minutes.
What can make it? It gives you time.
I actually kind of expected the story to go... and I walked up cold and I read it and I dropped the script on the floor like, see ya! And I walked out.
Well, I took about 5 or 10 minutes with 3 scenes and then went in and played with them.
Here's a story that has nothing to do with you, but something to do with that kind of situation. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she is also in the acting scene in the Atlanta area. She talked about one of her first roles that she went in. She's a dancer. So that she walks in and they're like, okay, we want you to do this and you're a stripper. And she's like, I'm not a stripper, I'm a dancer. But okay, whatever. So, and they had her, like, they have a folding chair and you're supposed to dance around the chair and everything. And she does it and she kind of fell off the chair, fell down. The chair fell on top of her and and kind of closed. And she laughed about it and kept going. And she's like, okay, I'm done. I'm out. You know, when they called it, she got the part.
Of course, because she was a real human.
She was real. She was natural. She did not come out of the scene. And so she's doing all her you know, practicing and her rehearsals and all that stuff. And they're like, okay, well, we're ready for you to go up and meet Ben now. Ben? Yes, Ben Affleck. This was her first role.
Nice.
And I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was...
Reindeer Games?
No, it wasn't.
Flash Dance?
No, it's too far back. Anyways.
Magic Mike.
The fact that she was able to not take herself so seriously and was so comfortable and real. In film, they look for real.
Yeah, and that's true. And I think that that's just good for life, too. I mean, you know, things happen and you can either let them weigh you down and lay on the ground, or you can kind of just take it for what it is and keep moving. And that's not to say that you don't have your time on the ground, because I think that's important, too, that you don't just say, oh, I feel terrible, but I'm going to pretend that I don't feel terrible forever and ever and ever, because then it's going to come back and bite you later, right? So it's like you deal with how you feel, but you just don't live there for the rest of your life.
Nice.
That's right. Yeah. So as always, this above all, to thine own self be true, and it must follow. As the night, the day, thou canst not be false to any man. Thank you, Katie.
How did this become Shakespeare Hamlet. Freaks?
I'm sorry, it's the chat room, so I had to give her a shout out when she threw that. So,
it's not her fault. I have Shakespeare training. She can feel it.
So far, two things that we've picked up is ask for what you want. Be prepared to get what you want. Or I guess it'll be 3 things in. If you get knocked down, get back up. You spend your time there.
Like Chumbawamba.
Don't
get knocked down, but get up again. I'm sorry.
Go sit in the timeout corner. But you said don't live there. You don't live in the down.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody has, you have to let your emotions flow through you and you have to feel things and process them. It's really important to do that. And if that means that you need to take, you know, a little bit of a hiatus to deal with stuff, then do it, because you deal with it for 6 months, not the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know? So, and some, for some people that's more of a struggle than others, but it just depends on what's pulling you. I mean, for me, I guess my passion for what I do has always been able to pull me out of any kind of hole that I've been in.
How long have you known this is what you wanted to do?
I really think almost forever. My grandmother was the national president for American Women in radio and television for a while. And my uncle is an actor and a director, and my dad's a musician. And so I just kind of have an artistic family. So it felt like an organic process to starting to
Your
to
grandmother's
do it.
Not Patricia Fripp, is it?
No, okay. Audrey Hunt.
I'm like,
that'd be really cool.
Right? It's like, that'd be a small world. Because I forget what she was the first female president of, but something like that.
So she was kind of, you know, my grandmother was a pioneer in that. You know, she had a radio show and all that kind of stuff, and then she started doing television as well. But I never had any resistance to do what I want to do, which has been really nice and fortunate. So there's that. I've always had the support of, I guess, my family and my friends to do what I want to do. But that doesn't necessarily make it easy.
Right. And we're going to talk about the uneasy parts here coming up next. Now, I want everybody to listen on the blogtalkradio.com/successfreaks. So you get the high def on demand version of this show. We also record live sometimes on Tuesday mornings. Roughly when the sun comes up, between that and when the sun goes down, we shoot for 11, 10:30, 10 a.m. Eastern. We We're having a hard time nailing down a consistent schedule, but we are there, so you can check it out.
We have a resistance schedule. Live.
Yeah. So we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Success Freaks, number 199, Otherworld Adventures. Now, this is the portion of the show where we have a question that we throw out. Before that, we have listener mail. And because we have somebody else in the studio, we're going to have her read. Carrie Ann Hunt, take it away.
Okay, so this is listener Sherry. She says, hi, I hope you had a great weekend. I just wanted to take this time to say thank you for what you do with Success Freaks. You have really saved my life. I was real bad, depressed, and ready to end my life. I had no hope, and I thought my life was worthless until I listened to one of your podcasts. In it, you were talking about how you make your own life, and it is no one else's fault, and that opened my eyes that the blame was not my family or the bully that was at my school when I was a teenager. I am 45 years old now, and my life is my responsibility. Thank you for helping me wake up so I can get on with the rest of my life. If it were not for your show and you, Success Freaks, I would not be here. Thanks again.
Oh, so there you go.
That's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You're welcome, Sherry.
Thank
you. That'll be $59.99.
Thank you, Sherry, very much. That's very sweet. And thank you for sharing that with us, because we don't always hear that. So now
it is nice. So it is nice to know that we helped you, especially in a time when you were looking for help. You know, because we are comedic motivation. We entertain. It feels like we definitely entertain more than we teach. A lot of times people tune in to laugh and have fun. Yeah, we make each other laugh. But to know that something we said or the things that we do say or constantly say helped you out and pointed you in the right direction is really cool. And very much thank you for doing that. And for everybody else we've helped, why can't you be like your sister Sherry?
She always says such nice things.
She does. Unlike listener Mike in the chat room, he says, oh, you are a mongoose to me forever.
He can hear me?
Yeah. So I want to point, we were discussing that, how Ricky Tiki Tavi, my name.
In
Ricky,
the break.
Blah, blah, blah. But I have to point out that my nickname in junior high and high school was, in fact, Hamster.
Hamster.
I was a little guy.
I totally went to a horrible place with that. Why there. You got that name?
No, I was in study hall. My nose was itching, so I was wiggling it, and somebody said, you look like a hamster, and it stuck for the rest of my school.
So,
there you go. And now, back to the show.
All right, so the question, I do have a question. In life, we are afraid of rejection. A lot of times that's what keeps us down. We've stated the mental stories. And I say mental because we didn't go through them. Everybody's read them. But the stories of KFC being rejected so many times before we finally got that restaurant going. Chicken Soup for the Soul being rejected a bajillion times before you got that book going. So now that we have somebody who's in one of the biggest fields for rejection
ever, yes.
You know, I think the listeners would really, really like to know. You're obviously positive. Now, if you go to IMDb and hit your name, there's a good 20, 30, whatever credits. I mean, maybe more than that. But
34.
There's
I'm not counting.
And an award. You know, that I was like, oh, she won an award. Let me see what she won for. I'll bring it up in the show. And it's like shared with everybody. That was also.
Yeah. Well, it was for the entire film. So
I figured.
But you're the one that put it over the edge. Weren't you?
But you got it listed. That's cool. But when you started, obviously, it wasn't that way. And you've moved around from place to place to see what worked and what didn't. How do you, in the early days, deal with rejection? And is it easier now with success?
You know, it's an interesting thing because I think I've always been just so eyes on the prize that even if I did get rejected, it was not bigger than my goals. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't really know how to explain that other than, you know, it was always, okay, I didn't get that. Like, I remember there was a a show in school that I really It was between me and one other girl for the role, and I really wanted it, and I did cry about that one. because I was like, oh, man. But for, 5 minutes, and then I was like, okay. And then there was something else. But I've always been really proactive, and I think that helps, is that as proactive as you can be about, finding your own work, yes, you have agents and you have a team of people that are there to support you, but they're not there to do all of the work for you, and you have to work for yourself, too. And so I would just constantly be seeking out opportunities and things like that. And even now, you get to a point where you're auditioning so much that you learn not to get too attached to it. You try to just go, okay, I went in, I did my very best, and the things that are for me will come to me, and the things that are not for me will not come to me. So if I don't get that, then it's not mine. And that's sort of saved my sanity in a lot of ways. But it doesn't mean it's not hard. It doesn't mean that there aren't roles every once in a while that go, oh man, that would have been amazing. Or I really would like to do that,
You little known fact, you were up for Ming Na's role in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You just weren't Asian enough. It's okay.
Well, yeah,
But when it does happen, let's say it happens 2 or 3 times in a row now for you. Is it still like the early days where it hurts a little bit and you move on?
It's interesting because with the way that the industry is now and in general, like with a film audition, they don't call you up and tell you that you didn't get it. You just never hear from them again. So you sort of teach yourself to just go in and do it, and then you just put it out. And it's over, and you put it out of your mind.
You do an audition. You don't just sit and wait to hear about that audition. You go and do other auditions. But what if they are going to overlap each other? Are you concerned about that? You're shaking your head no on radio.
Not a great idea. I sort of, with those things, it would be useless for me to sit around and spin my wheels and worry about that. And that's another thing, too. I try to, as much as I can, and it is hard, not to worry too much about things that are not in my control. Because when you're up for a TV show, I don't know if people know this, but when you're up for a TV show, it's sort of a process. Like for Sleepy Hollow, I get the phone call from my agent. She says, okay, they have you pinned for the role, which means they literally have your headshot tacked up on a wall and they're staring at you with other people to see if you look the way that, good together and things like that. And that doesn't mean that you have the role. It just means you're really close. So then you sit there.
Do you want to know that? Or would you rather not know it until they call and say you got the role?
I kind of like knowing it because it's exciting to know that you got that far.
Okay.
Because everything to me is sort of a celebration. They go, okay, I got that far. Out of all those people that auditioned, I'm tacked to that wall.
There's another takeaway for the show there. Everything's a celebration.
Yeah,
every step you're excited about, and you're one step closer to whatever you want.
Well, because it's one, I got the audition. Two, they've got me pinned to the wall. And then you get the fun period of time where you're waiting on network approval, which means it's not just the director or the casting director. It's this whole panel of people that you've never met that are deciding, whether or not you get this role. And then, hopefully it doesn't take too long before you get the phone call with, I'm in Magic Mike XXL. And I had to wait like a week or something before I found out that I actually booked it. And that week was nerve-wracking, you know, because you're like, oh, don't think about it. Just don't think about it. Think about something else. I got to make a smoothie. But what about that movie?
So you're in that role. Are you where are you in that role? Are you just an extra? Or are you
no. I have a...
Don't say it like that. No, I'm not in
no,
extra.
But I'll tell you...
Unwashed masses.
No. I was going to make a joke, but I'm not going to do it because it'll make me sound like a terrible person.
You can tell us later.
I don't think at this point anybody would think you're a terrible person.
But this is an interesting thing that happened to me on that. It was a small supporting role, which is really exciting. It's a Warner Brothers studio feature. I was filming for 11 days. I was down on location for almost a month. It was really incredible for me to be more a part of the cast than like somebody who comes in and has one scene and leaves.
Right.
So you develop a relationship with the hair and makeup people and with all the other actors, and you sort of become like a little family, and that was fun. But it was interesting for me, talking about journeys through career stuff, is that I was being walked onto set the first day because there were a lot of extras, and so they would have a production assistant walk me to my spot. And when I was walking through, I had this weird, almost like meta moment of, oh my God, I'm here. I was there, and I wanted to be here, and now I'm here, where I remember doing extra work and thinking one day I'm going to have a line, and then getting one line and thinking one day I'm going to have, you know, a scene, and then you have a scene, and then thinking one day I'm going to have, you know, a more supporting role. And then I was there, and it was just this like kind of a moment for me to look back at that journey all in like this one, so probably 60 seconds.
You start off as an extra then.
That was the first, one of the first things I did. I did some student film stuff, and I was an extra on Talladega Nights.
She was the sweet baby Jesus.
Thank you, baby Jesus.
I was a nurse, and I walked past the door, and you never saw me or even my shadow.
Oh, but you got paid, didn't
but
you?
But I got paid, and I was there.
Yeah. And on that, we will be back here in just a minute to talk about your current project and the ups and downs with that.
Cool.
Success Freaks number 199, Otherworld Adventures. And we are talking today with Carrie Ann Hunt. And this is our level up section where we help you level up your life with some of the stuff we're talking about. Hopefully we'll be able to do that. But first, Carrie Ann.
Now we're going to level up in the next section. Make it easier. I know this is it, but you brought in a guest, which changes everything.
It changes everything.
And for the record, first guest you brought in is actually decent, by the way. Since our good friend, the beautiful redhead, that you're staring at me because you know her name, you're making me dig this thing out of my brain. But you know, Allison Williams.
That's right.
Since her, that was a great guest. And ever since her, it's been...
That's not true. We've had wonderful guests.
No, you did not bring...
I didn't bring the guy with the...
Eleanor Rigby on.
The guy with
what?
The...
Lauren Alexander. No, you brought the guy.
I brought her.
No, she came to us as a fan. She came to us as a fan.
I organized
children.
This.
But you children, did not enter. If you're going to fight, you're going to have to go outside.
Now, this is just giving you a backhanded compliment. This is the greatest guest you brought on. This is Allison Williams. She's awesome. Aww. She's actually been great for our audience.
Thank you.
Keep it up, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Kiss my ass.
So.
And.
A needle pulling thread.
So, Carrie Ann, now that we're moving on from our romper room. To the Sound of Music. Carrie Ann, you've done acting. We've talked about that. But that's not all you do. You do writing and you do producing.
Right. So, and I'm laughing so hard I can't talk.
Why are you laughing? What's so funny?
Oh, I don't know.
We talked in the break how to set this up as you both laugh. So she's gone now. But here's the idea. So she's going from acting, which is not an easy path, but at least it's a straightforward path. It's much like going to your job that you love at work, most like staying on the path to level up at work, to get the supervisor position and the manager position. You're there and it's a stream. Acting is a stream. You get bigger roles. You go from being an extra to a line to multiple lines to
supporting
role. Thank you. Yeah. And go on. But you jumped some of that and you started your own production company and you're writing and you're trying to sell a script.
Right.
That's a whole different veer off to the right and let's be crazy moment.
It's a rabbit hole is what it is, but it's pretty wonderful too. I've wanted to start a production company for a long time and the opportunity, just timing, you know, things just weren't lined up the way they should be. And when I say that, I just mean that I feel like my partner Lindsay and I came together kind of at exactly the right time and we sort of found out that we had that common interest and things like that. And it just sort of unfolded. And I feel like things happen in perfect time anyway, when they're supposed to and all that jazz. So anyway, like derailed.
Yeah, that's good.
But
part.
But yeah, I mean, part of it is just, it's that whole ask for what you want, take control of your life. Ted Brunetti, who I study with when he comes to Atlanta, who's amazing and wonderful, he talks about make your own party, which I think is really important for not just actors, but for everybody. There's so much is accessible to us now, especially as filmmakers. You know, you can go out there and buy a good camera and you can get good equipment and get people together and really make something. And you have a platform for it now, you know, with all the new media and all that kind of stuff, that there's no reason why you shouldn't be creating your own things.
There are people out there making movies and getting these movies bought and sold on their iPhones.
Yeah. It's nuts. It's
yeah.
Nuts-o.
So, you know, don't let the equipment scare you. You know, right. You can be thought of as artistic.
I'm sure there's definitely something in that way, but something in my mind goes, the dark side of positive here. Checking
right.
in.
Yeah.
You know, really? I'd love to see somebody sign a case where they only filmed it on their iPhones
now,
and
there was
sold
one.
It.
Yeah. There was one that went, and I don't fact check me because I don't know. But there was one that I think it went to Sundance and actually won a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
But you have to consider too who's operating the camera. It's not like they filmed something in their backyard that
right.
a lot of thought went into it and they just happened to use an iPhone, and they were still using their artistry skills of, you know, cinematography and got good actors and all that kind of stuff. There's so many things, and that's the thing, is that for film, it's different than any other art because it really takes a village. You know, when you watch the credits roll at the end of a movie, you'll see it's, you know, hundreds of people that go into making this one thing happen. But for me, and, you know, Lindsay is my partner, and we've got this great production company now. It's Artemis Rising Productions. It's really helped my sanity.
Okay.
Because I know that no matter what audition I go to, that I do or don't get, I have my own project to come home to, and it's mine. You know?
That gets back to if you want to do something, create it. Don't wait for other
get
people to hand it to you.
Get out there and do it.
You know, I like to work with ensemble casts. As you can see that with the Tortuga Twins, but I like doing it more. So if I want to do that, I need to create those projects. Or look for people who are doing those projects and say, hey, can I help? And that sometimes works
now,
as well.
Where are
he
you?
He called us up and used that very same voice.
I did, can I help?
Shake and bake?
And all I help.
I do have a vein throbbing on the right side of my forehead right now. Because worst Southern accent ever.
That wasn't really. You know. That's the shake and bake girl.
No, she nailed the accent. You, sir, yeah. need to be her understudy.
Yeah, work on my Southern. I'm yes. sorry. I ain't not talking right.
Oh, my God.
Excuse me.
So, Carrie and Hunt.
Yes.
Watch
I don't know.
It. Watch it.
Whoa.
No.
what's happening?
What do you consider, or have you considered, doing web content, your web TV?
Yes. In fact, this is sort of the funny thing, is that with Otherworld, it originally started where I wanted to have a production company. I really wanted to make stuff. Lindsay, who is, she's a wonderful visual artist. She's also a writer. She had a short story that I really loved, and I said, hey, I like that. And we thought, oh, okay. Let's turn it into a web series. And so originally it was intended to be basically 10-minute long episodes. But then we got in there and we started digging around. I actually wrote a pilot to be a 20-minute pilot, you know, like a double episode pilot.
Sure.
And and then we got in there and we went, we really need to do some world building and character development. So we did, and it kind of exploded in the best of ways, so that now we have like 250 years of history for these characters, and it's really super beautiful and complicated, but now it's an hour-long show. So we're aiming it at primetime television or something like Netflix or Hulu,
right.
Something like that.
Now, an hour-long, that equals 44 minutes usually.
It's somewhere in that neighborhood, yeah. It depends. I mean, if it's on Netflix, there's no commercials on Netflix.
Right.
You know, but if it's on ABC, then there's going to be commercials.
I started watching some Netflix episodes, and it's really kind of interesting. Some of the stuff they're coming with, you're like, cool. And some of it, you're like, I like this. It wouldn't go anywhere else, but yes. You know, so I'm glad you did it. Then there's one that I really want to be really good, and I watch it, and I'm just like, ugh, you're painful.
That would be Game of Thrones.
No.
You know, we actually hosted the red carpet for the IAW TV Awards,
cool.
which is... I always get the A wrong. It's the International
Academy.
The International Academy of Web TV, yeah. And met some of the people there and learned a lot about the world of Web TV, mm-hmm. just in that 24 hours that we really got involved there.
Right. And a lot of those people, you talk about women not really being directors and producers or whatnot. They
in mainstream.
Were, there were a lot of women doing that. So there's room for that.
Yeah, there definitely is. I think it's just in the mainstream, in the, you know, regular, I almost said muggle because I love Harry Potter. I was like, in the muggle, in the muggle
to, you're
eyes.
You're not allowed to use that word.
Whatever.
I'm sorry.
Is it offensive?
No, I'm sorry. Carrie Ann has seen the movie. She has not read the books.
Oh, stop it.
So.
Because I didn't want to be disappointed. I like to watch them before I read them.
Let me
because
go on a tangent.
Wait. Hold your tangent.
They cut off the parts that need to be cut
because
off.
Because if I watch the movie and then I read the book, then it's like deleted scenes and I'm not upset that they didn't include it.
Right,
if I do it the
and
other way,
fine.
Like Ender's Game, I get all like, why wasn't that in there?
That's why I'm doing that with Game of Thrones because I like to be surprised.
Right.
However, I have to say this about Harry Potter. After the Goblet of Fire, the books are not really written for films. Because the story, there's so much back, and also Snape in the movies is so Snape light. He is so much meaner in the books. You have no idea how broken and mean he is until you actually, then you're like, oh, what the heck was up with that?
And yet the movie still made billions of dollars.
Shut up. I know. I watched them too.
They're wonderful and magical.
So real quick, why don't you tell everybody where they can find more of your information, and then we'll talk about the Level Up section in the next segment.
Okay. Well, we have a Facebook page, so it's just facebook.com/Artemis, like the Greek goddess. So
spell
it's
that.
A-R-T-E-M-I-S.
Cool.
Rising Productions. So that's facebook.com/Artemis Rising Productions. And then we also have a Twitter that is Artemis Rising PR. We're on Instagram as Artemis Rising Productions. And we also have a website that's Artemis Rising Productions LLC.com. So that's where we are right now. We're expanding into Tumblr and everywhere else in the social media universe right now. But
what kind of, is there a time frame of where we could view something released?
Hopefully. We actually have an Indiegogo. Okay. Campaign up right now to do a proof of concept, which is essentially us making a short film, for lack of a better word, that we can then take to bigger investors and say, hey, this is a taste of our world and our characters and what we want to do. And, you know, basically, please help us make this into a full on series and show. So that's up for 16 more days, I think.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that's hopefully... Fingers crossed, if we get all the funding we needed, then we'll be filming at the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we get the proof of concept done, you know, we'll put it up on our website.
And what's the Indiegogo link?
It is http://.
/.
Who knows?
Right.
So it's igg.me/@ Otherworld-POC.
I bet you put that link out on your Twitter feed often.
I bet we do, and on Facebook.
And on Facebook.
All over the place. Everywhere.
We're going to be back with the Level Up section next.
That's right.
Welcome to On Beyond Success Freaks, where we go bigger, badder, better, more into the topics of the show. With us this evening is the ever so lovely Carrie Ann Hunt.
Hello.
See, I went down and did the soft H because I was told to be very, very careful with that. Now she's making faces and hands and drinking a shake. Now, see, if I could do the BBC thing, this would be a great commentary of what she's doing.
She's drinking her protein smoothie as she turns away from the microphone.
There you go. And our Mort at Mond, as always.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm Charles. So we're going to actually bring the level up here. Now, I've been pulling out takeaway points throughout the whole show as I've heard them. This, Carrie Ann, is where we talk about... We kind of recap what we've gone over a little bit, the journey and everything, and then we talk about what we're pulling out right now to work on. So I'll go ahead and let you talk about not so much your journey, but what are you working on? What's your stretch? What's your push right now in your life?
Oh, my gosh. Well, a lot of it is to make a comfortable living only through my creative endeavors and to stop suffering unnecessarily. You know, to try to stay, I'm a pretty positive person anyway, but just to try to really be aware of what I say and not only what I say, but what I think too, you know, and just sort of if I'm feeling down or I'm feeling something and you have the tendency to say something that's maybe not so nice to yourself or about something you're doing, to sort of flip that.
Right. The IEEE conference I was referencing earlier, it was 98% women because it was the women in engineering. And one of the things that was said from the stage was, compared to men, women think more negative things about themselves. Now, as humans, we all do. But women, for some reason, tend to hold themselves back more. And somebody took the phrase and changed it to, just because you think it doesn't make it true.
Yeah.
You know, and they meant that in the negative way of, just because you think the negative things about yourself doesn't mean it's true.
Right. And I mean, I'm a big proponent of Louise Hay and affirmations and positive self-talk and all those things. I mean, on my bathroom mirror literally are 15 affirmations that I look at every single morning.
What's one of them?
One of them is, I am blessed beyond my fondest dreams. And I really like that one because it covers everything.
Nice.
You know, like, that's a nice one that sort of just covers everything. Another one that's really nice is, I allow my income to constantly expand and I always live in comfort and joy, which I really like, because sometimes when you think about making more money, a lot of stress can come with that.
Right.
So I like that affirmation because it affirms that, you know, your income is constantly expanding, but you're living in comfort and joy. You're not living in
the stress and the hard work and the sweat. Yeah.
Well, and I try to do, I mean, one thing that I try to get into a routine of doing is, when I get up in the morning, I try to do my yoga, and then I try to really make a concerted effort to do at least 10 minutes of affirmations. I have Wayne Dyer's I Am meditation, which is also really great. And I've really found, you know, I would write those down, because you basically just say, you know, I am a successful working actress. I am, you know, producing a successful television show, whatever it is, you know, or I am getting through the day in a joyful way, whatever it is that you want to do. But I would write them down. I can look back at the things I wrote and see that a lot of those things have come to fruition just because of that. And even if you don't want to feel all like woo-woo about law of attraction and stuff like that, which I happen to love, but, you know, for other people that might be skeptical about that, it's as simple as self-fulfilling prophecies. If you tell yourself something's not going to work, it's not going to work. It's
absolutely,
because then you won't even put the effort towards
it. Well, because you won't put the effort.
You won't look for
it.
The magic, for one thing.
Well, yeah, and that's a big,
you know, the
deal.
Miracle, whatever the word is that you're
is
using.
That you rewire your brain to look for the positive, not the negative, and then it's like a whole new world. And that doesn't mean that, you know, I've had a couple of down days recently, even, you know, where it's the middle of the night and you're trying to sleep and you're just like, oh, why didn't I choose another career path? Why am I doing this to myself? You know, and then you snap out of it with, you know, the next morning or after an hour or whatever, and you go, oh, because I love what I do and I'm
right.
And I have this mission in the world as an artist, and I'm
coffee is the joy bringer.
Ready to do that. I hate coffee, actually.
She's been drinking a smoothie all
morning. I have a smoothie.
That's kind of inferred that she doesn't do that.
No, you
I drink
should have done
tea.
The coffee first before that.
I drink
that.
Tea.
That's how that works. You don't know what smoothie. Have you even
this is the man who works out with cheat days. You know, it's like counterproductive is all I'm saying. And she's laughing, so she gets it. So
it's because he's kissing his biceps.
Somebody has to, damn it.
Are you based off Atlanta?
Yes.
So would you like to replace him on the show? Because you've got some great stuff to say, and you have yet to kiss your biceps or bring up poop. So it'd be awesome to have you on more often.
In the break. We were on a break.
Potty break, perhaps. So let's talk about your level up. What is your level up? Or maybe even what is your I am?
Well, for me, what I like about this is that it's the difference between, as she was talking about, the difference between going into, you know, be expecting the miracle or not shutting it down. That difference between going and when somebody says, hey, have you read the script when you're talking about doing another audition that you're not ready for, and laughing about it and going, no, I haven't, but I can do this, and going, oh, no, I can't. You know, there's those books out there that say, expect a miracle, expect this, da, 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 you know, that's fine, whatever. Be open to it. Be open to the magic out there. And then you can look for it. Don't just kind of go, well, it's got to drop in my lap. You know, look for it. Do that thing. Do that thing that lets you move forward with it. If you expect yourself not to have great things show up in your life, you're going to miss the ones that are there.
Well, and some of it, I think, for a lot of people is feeling like they deserve it. You know, because I think a lot of people feel deep down like they don't deserve to be happy, or that happiness is not our natural state. You know, we've sort of been taught that life is hard and being an adult is miserable. And it's like, who made that up? You know, I mean, it's just not true.
Right.
And a lot of it is deprogramming yourself from all these things, from religion, from family, from any number of things that have put these ideas into your head, because that's all it is it? But that being said, I do feel like sometimes things don't work, but they're angling you in a new direction. And if you're really open and you're being positive and you're ready to see the success in things, it won't hold you down forever, because you will eventually use it as rocket fuel.
Yeah, there's that idea that you should be ready for failure. That way, if whatever you want doesn't go through, you won't be disappointed. You know what? But then most of the time, you're just kind of in a downer mindset. Versus, you know, let's say that you're always expecting something good to happen, and you're like, oh, so I'm pretty much up most of the time, and then something bad happens. Okay, it's going to drag me down, but you're not coming from a place of negativity and then dragged down further. You're coming from a place of being very positive and happy, and your ability to snap back and go, okay, this happened. I'm going to pick myself up. I'm going to put on my big boy panties, and I'm going to use this thing that happened to me to help me grow for something other than wallowing.
Well, and sometimes, sometimes it takes that, though. Sometimes you have to. I mean, I've had several events in my life that have been really, really hard, like proverbial bone breaking, just rough.
Right.
But those things sometimes allow you to see parts of yourself that you need to work on. They allow you to, I used to say from a place of nothing, you can see everything. So it's almost like, it's like phoenixes, you know, coming out of ashes and things like that. That sometimes I feel like those events that happen to you, you can do one of two things. You can let them break you forever, or you can learn from them. And so I don't think that there really is such a thing as failure. I think there are only lessons.
You had a hardship that you dealt with.
My turn. We're running out of time. I got to level up, fool.
Level up.
I pity the fool who don't let Mr. C do his level up.
Wait, C is a cookie. I level up with me.
Okay, I'll give you a 5 for that. That's awesome. I'll give you that one.
The mongoose behave.
So I've got two level ups here. One is the thing I'm hearing, and the thing I'm picking up on is there's no such thing as miracles. Miracles are the things that you see other people do that you think you can't. Mm-hmm. You know, that's. You've even kind of not used the word miracle. You said that about me before when we went to Karani to New Media Expo, and I'm working the room, and you're like, he's got no fear. And y'all were sitting at the table, not moving. It was just, you've got no fear. You just think you do, type of deal. Mm-hmm. Miracles are the things that you see other people doing. You know, we watch you, Carrie Ann, going and doing all the acting and the writing, and you go, I can never do that. She's been blessed. And it's, you go and do. So stop waiting on miracles. There's no such thing. The other level up was the team. When you said, even if you have a team, you have to work harder. And the team frees you up to work harder. And that's something that I'm working on now, actually, is building a little bit more of a team. So I can do a lot more work, which is the paradox of that, right?
Sure. It all looks like, something I've heard is, it all looks like magic until you understand the technology. And a quote from our friend Allison Williams has a friend of hers, Paris Mumba, I believe his name. He would go, and he was, I believe he lived in Africa or South Africa, and he would watch people on tight ropes and jugglers and doing all this. He's like, oh, it's magic what they would do. And then he went and became that kind of circus person. And his quote is, there is no magic, there's only practice. You realize that you can do anything, and it looks like magic. It looks amazing. What Carrie Ann does looks amazing to us, almost miracle-like. But there is no magic to it. It's just working it, getting your butt in there and doing it. So.
Yeah, and I do. I mean, I do think that there are a different kind of miracle in the world, and that there is a certain magic every once in a while. You know, but it's energetic. But it's the power of people coming together, and it's, you know, whatever you believe in. But I do think that there is that element that's there. But it's about freeing yourself up to have access to those things.
Well, on that note, have we already had her pimp herself out?
Yes.
So she's already done that. Yes. And our show is beyond at an end right now. So we're going to end this show. Okay. So thank you very much, Carrie Ann, for being a part of this otherworld adventure.
Yay.
And as always, this has been R. Mordetmon.
And I'm Charles McFall.
That's it?
Well, nope. I did the Pity the Fool thing. I kind of...
Go to the Otherworld Indiegogo page, please. We need your help.
You did, yes. There you go.
There you go. Ciao, success freaks. Boom, baby. And you can let your head down.